I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto sports experts weigh in on pro athletes using their platforms to comment on social justice issues. In the wake of 2020's Black Lives Matter movement and the murder of George Floyd, athletes have become more vocal, taking on roles that go beyond the game and sport. While leagues like the NBA and NFL continue to see several of its stars become more visible spokespersons and advocates, some remain hesitant, especially in the NHL. Progress is being made, especially through the Hockey Diversity Alliance, but the culture of the sport continues to be heavily scrutinized in recent years. Further, the experts say that the conversations can start with the athlete, but changes at the top of each franchise must happen to see a definitive, sustainable shift. Locally, examples of the Toronto Raptors being a leading voice in the Black Lives Matter movement, and the Toronto Maple Leafs seeking diverse voices across its levels continue to emerge. Today, sports host Savannah Hamilton and sports psychology professor Nicole Neverson discuss the role of the athlete in addressing social issues, and whether fans and viewers should see them as the leading voices in these causes. Professor Neverson describes how sports is always political, and even when athletes choose to not speak out, its impact goes beyond the scope of the game.
With sports activism, is that sports activism has always been about saying that the game can wait, and that there are more important things, more pressing issues that actually are affecting not just players on the field or on the pitch, but the broader social community and sphere. I also think too, sports activism is also about putting a foot down and saying that sports just aren't going to be spaces of escape, right? Where we can think they are flushed or cleansed of all the ills and traumas and pains, suffering and oppressions that exist, in the broader social world. So those are the first two things that that come to mind immediately. And also too, I think sports activism always sends us a message. At least for me, sports are always political, no matter what. And that's because, you know, they're always going to be political based on who's playing and who's not, whose causes are given space and given voice, and whose causes aren't given voice and given space.
The fundamental change she sees in the game today is the visibility of the athlete. Through social media and media coverage, there's a larger platform for them to speak out and an opportunity to put pressure on management and team owners.
I think one of the first things that I think about is athletes are more visible now. And I think also more comfortable being visible and speaking. And part of that comfort, I think, and awareness of the risk that it takes comes from a lot of solidarity movements and comes, quite frankly, from just being angry and done with living in these realities of oppression and racism, for instance, but also knowing that so much lip service has been paid to these issues before. I think that 2020, you asked specifically about 2020 and the murder of George Floyd. I think that the role of athletes in social activism is also, it also has to do with maybe two important things. One of the things that I know I keep on coming back to is looking at how well athletes connect with the communities they come from. So many athletes, obviously racialized athletes, Black athletes, come from communities that are oppressed or equity seeking. And one of the most powerful messages that these athletes are sending to their communities is that, you know, we see you, we feel your pain, we feel your trauma, we know your trauma because we've experienced those things. We walk those same lives. And I think the other big message that I've seen or changes in the ways that athletes are embracing activism is that they're wielding their power in other ways. So maybe the first way that they wield their power is to let their communities know we're here and we will be your voice. I think the other way that they're wielding their power is that they're looking at the ownership. They're looking at the league decision makers. they're looking at all of these people who make the sports industry possible, you know, media players, marketers, advertisers. They're looking at all those people and they're also saying, you know what, your time's up now. We're watching you and we expect you to use your networks, use your connections, use your privilege to help to move this conversation forward, to help affect change. So athletes are becoming very keenly aware, I think, and comfortable with harnessing their power and doing it in ways that build bridges and relationships with allies and other athletes, regardless of sports. And they're letting those in power in their sports leagues and sports organizations know that we've had enough and we're going to be pressing you to make changes. Go and talk to those powerful people that you know, go talk to the politicians, the policymakers, because we can only do so much. And now it's time for you to step into the fray and do the hard work.
Another aspect she hopes to address is the ability to build connections across different lines. This means a more collective approach towards bringing about change.
Sports activism can actually bring about these very strong and critical points of change, and they can ensure that our foot still stays on the gas in order to realize them. But I think my original point was getting back to this idea of nuance. Having Black skin doesn't necessarily guarantee that you have a politics that is supposed to be emancipatory and a politics that speaks to and will be always be about social justice and lifting up all people. And I think sometimes it's very hard to understand that and see that. So what actually becomes, I think, all the more important in moments like these is that we look for solidarity across the lines so we can push in the right direction in a very sort of sustainable and meaningful direction for social justice across the lines of people. Because sometimes we find that even within groups, there's not a lot of agreement on how to do so. So I just wanted to add that.
Savannah Hamilton's experience with sports include working for the Toronto Raptors and the WNBA. While the conversations on social justice and activism are saturated in the pro leagues, she says other levels like the NCAA and major junior require change as well.
When I think about the history of social activism and it being a political landscape, it's like two and two going together, given the history of colonization and white supremacy within sports. And so naturally you're going to have that. And there's so many takeaways and draws that we can get into here. And it's hard to just know exactly which lane to start in, because you could start with the grassroots. You could start at the NCAA, like not paying their athletes, even though they're predominantly Black, like the football players, the basketball players, and they're bringing in the most money. And this is long before BLM came to the forefront. We could talk about the WNBA and how they were taking stances back in 2000 and something, like not when it was 2020.
An example she mentions is LeBron James. The NBA star continues to speak on several political and social issues in his media availabilities, as well as provide charitable works and humanitarian aid for underprivileged communities. However, Savannah says athletes are not obligated to do so, and in many instances are not trained to speak on these issues.
Is it his sole responsibility to do that? Absolutely not. And I think about the leadership at the highest levels, you know, whether it's NBA, NFL, look at who's representing these athletes in a predominantly Black space. You will see a lot of white males. That's just a fact. This is not new information. Yeah, are they the best voices at times? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's also a personal decision. I don't blame athletes for not wanting to talk on things at the same time. Yes, you're given this position, but at the end of the day, like, you didn't specialize in social justice. You didn't specialize in social activism. You just happen to be given this platform, happen to be amazing at your job that everybody watches you. But it's not necessarily on you to carry the weight, because by the way, that weight is heavy to carry the burden of having conversations, facilitating conversations, letting people know where you stand, because not everybody is comfortable with letting people know where they stand on things, whether it's like whether people agree or not. So kind of forcing them to like, oh, you have a platform, go talk. Like, that's not fair to them. They're not politicians. They didn't get trained for that. They just got trained to talk to media in terms of like what they do on the court or off the court. If they choose to do it, if they choose to make their platform usable for other social causes, that's amazing. We've seen what that can do. But otherwise, it starts at the top. And I think about the deputy commissioner of the NBA, Mark Tatum. He's the only person of color. He's half Vietnamese, half Jamaican. in all major sports. And already his presence is amazing. I applaud him for being one of the first and one of the only. However, it shouldn't be the case. And I think about Masai Ujiri, president of the Toronto Raptors, and think about all the changes he's been able to make. The Raptors led the BLM movement in the bubble back in 2020. They were the vocal leaders. They really set the tone. They inspired other teams to also be vocal leaders as well. And I can't help but wonder, what if we had, I don't know, 15 Masai Ujiris, an equal amount of representation in the NBA executive levels? What impact would that do? You know, Masai was also a big key feature in starting a professional basketball league in Africa, the continent, to give people opportunities, let alone exposure. And that translates to where we are here now. Like, one of our athletes on the Toronto Raptors, Precious Achiuwa, actually came from a Masai Ujiri camp. So my question is, would it be innate or natural for white owners of these franchises to think to do that? Or was it, or does it take a diverse perspective and experience to even consider that as an option?
Hockey's culture continues to be scrutinized at all levels, with more racist and sexual abuse incidents being reported. While the sport does not have several names speaking up on social issues compared to other pro leagues, Savannah said she was able to experience one positive change from the Toronto Maple Leafs captain, John Tavares.
Something that I've witnessed recently actually happened was the fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs, predominantly white ownership, of course, they brought in an educator. They brought in Mark Fraser, who raised his hand to be that educator in the first place. They didn't just bring, hey, you come in. No, he wanted to help change the system and change. And better yet, they wanted to learn. And so his presence has already made an impact in the Toronto Maple Leafs locker room. And he's a former Leaf player himself. He's biracial, but he's a former player himself and 10-year vet in the NHL. Recently, John Tavares, like one of the captains of the Toronto Maple Leafs, made a statement in allyship of a Black incident that happened in a different hockey league, but he stood up against it. And he called out Mark, being like, thanking him for being the person that educated him. And I talked to Mark, and Mark said, I didn't tell him to say that. He just did that on his own. That was unprovoked. That was not me. But that goes to show you how important the nuances and the allyship with the people who are holding space and do have platforms is as well.
As part of Black History Month, several Toronto sports teams and media networks are publishing more content on Canadian Black athletes who were central towards being figures in social justice. This includes Olympic sprinter Jean Lowe and current NHL defenseman PK Subban. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.